The reading is from Luke 9, verses 37 to 50. The healing of a boy with an evil spirit. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son, for he is only a child. A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions, so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." While the boy was coming, the demons threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy and gave him back to his father, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at this, the things that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him, "Who will be the greatest?" An argument started amongst the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and made him stand beside him. Then he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he is who is least among you all, he is the greatest." "Master," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he is not one of us. "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for whoever is not against you is for you." Thanks be God for reading his word.
Dun, dun, dun. It's the whiteboard. Thank you, Judith, for reading so well to us. Bless you. So, there have been three things that we have been particularly focusing on, that are reflecting on core aspects of growing and learning to be disciples. Okay, can you tell me what those are? Now, for those of you who've been in the services before, or you might have seen it on YouTube, there are three things that we've been looking at since January. Three elements of being a disciple. Can you give me one of those three? I've got one hand up. Okay. This is good. We're going to review our teaching methods. You think I'm joking? Leslie.
Loving Jesus,
correct. Round of applause, Leslie. Discipleship, love, loving Jesus. Love Jesus. Okay. We'll come back to that. Second one. Really? Ooh, Lisa.
To make you feel better.
Trust Jesus. Can't bear to see me. Well, look, round for us, Lisa. Yeah. Trust Jesus. Number three. Sorry? Obeying's close. It's not the word I've been using. But I think someone said it. Follow. Round of applause for Avril. And for Owen, who was close. Follow. I mean, had the right sense of the word. Probably knew it in Welsh. Follow Jesus. Brilliant. So, from the series, if you can think of something from the series that has helped you to learn to love Jesus more, I will give you a sweet, because that will bring me joy. And these are joysticks. I'll give you a sweet anyway. Anything that helps you in your journey as a discipleship to learn to love Jesus. What is it that helps you to love Jesus? Oh, go on at the top there.
The Bible.
The Bible. The Word of God. Fantastic. Well, this is going to be a challenge. Now, let's see if I can throw it over there. No. Okay, don't want a sweet anyway. The Bible. Great, yeah. So we've been going through Luke's Gospel, and we've been looking at how Jesus has interacted with different people. And just reading the Bible helps us to love Jesus, doesn't it? Because we see what he did. We see what he said. We see the people that we see, how gentle he was, and how challenging, how he invited people, and yet he drew them on a journey. Okay. Anyone else?
Fellowship
with others. Helps us to love Jesus. We see Jesus in others. Can we think, if you can think of anything that in the passages that we've looked at, fellowship with others? Jesus enjoyed a good meal, didn't he? He was great at a party, wasn't he? Anyone think of a meal where Jesus encouraged fellowship? Feeding the 5,000? Remember that one? Yeah. That sense of enjoying fellowship together. It's important, okay. Anyone else? Things that we love Jesus.
Trust.
We can move on to trust. Let's move on to trust. Okay? But the fact that we can trust him helps us to love him. So our experiences of growing in trust of Jesus. Yeah, help us to love him more. They're kind of circular, aren't they? Yeah. Okay, what things help us to trust Jesus?
Praying.
Yeah. As we've looked at Luke's Gospel, what have we seen Jesus doing? We've seen Jesus, he often went off into up a mountain to pray by himself. We've seen that so often, haven't we? And that comes out in a minute in today's passage as well. Come back to that. Anything else helps us to trust Jesus?
His humility.
His humility. Wow. Yeah. If someone's humble, you think, okay, this person's real. You think, okay, this person isn't in it for themselves. Wow, Jesus was that person, wasn't he? Fantastic. Okay, we've got two there. Anyone? Another one? Maximum of three. Yeah. Experiences. Past experiences, yeah, they help us, don't they? When Jesus helps us with something, it helps us to trust him with more things, doesn't it? That's right, and we've seen the disciples grow, haven't we, in trust, and as they've sort of ventured more out, and some of the as we've looked through the passages in Luke, we've seen them grow in trust. Following Jesus, what helps us to follow Jesus? Anything you can think of. As you've read scripture, as we've read these passages, and you think, wow, I want to do what Jesus did. I want to be like Jesus. I want to say the things he did. I want to do the things that he did. What's helped you to follow Jesus? Place your feet in his feet.
Forgiveness.
Wow, yeah. Jesus is so forgiving, isn't he? He's so grace-filled. He puts up with such a lot of nonsense and loves anyway. Jesus forgives as are those who speak against him, even, doesn't he? Okay.
Support
of our Christian family helps us to follow Jesus. It does indeed. The disciples together are much more effective, aren't they? Together. And if you open your Bible and you flick through the pages that we've looked at together, these things will come back to you as you see Jesus doing these things. Jesus supports others as well. Remember. Yeah. Following Jesus. Another one more? I want you to follow Jesus.
Loving your neighbour.
Loving your neighbour. Yeah. We want to do that, don't we? Cool. Transforming community starts with one neighbour loving another neighbour, doesn't it? And Jesus loves those around him. He goes to the Samaritans, the unloved. He goes to the tax collectors, the unloved. And he shows them love, as we've been reading as well. Okay, so let's look at the passage for today and see what we can pull out from this. A boy with an evil spirit who the disciples are unable to heal. If we can have our first slide here. This looks a little bit like epilepsy, but the vast majority of people suffering from epilepsy today, a vast majority of people having seizures and fits are simply having a seizure or a fit. I did a first aid training this week to update my training, and we were shown a video of someone having a fit and how you look after them. And it does look really scary. I don't know if you've been next to anyone who's had a fit. It does look really scary and a bit odd. But we understand that this is a chemical process in the brain. And we catch the person. Most importantly, I wish I'd done that. At a wedding I was at when someone had a fit next to me and then they fell backwards. I wish I'd just had the presence of mind to catch them. But there we go. We can catch them, help them. Then we just move anything out of the way that they might harm themselves with. We put something under their, behind their head, like a jumper or something. We cover them to help them maintain their modesty. And there you go. You just had a little bit of free first aid training. That one's free. So, and ring an ambulance, obviously, if they're not coming around. Put them in the recovery position. Have I got everything? Yeah, I think so. But it can be quite concerning, can't it? It can be quite concerning. But it doesn't mean that it's an evil spirit. And we could actually do a lot of harm if we suggest to the person that they have an evil spirit. That wouldn't be a kind thing to do or a thoughtful thing to do. And Jesus offers healing for all kinds of ailments throughout the scriptures. And we offer healing today. We want to pray for people who've got physical ailments or emotional ailments. And healing can come in the name of Jesus. It doesn't always come, but we are invited to pray, so we pray. But this is not epilepsy. Jesus tells us that this is an evil spirit. So this is different space. And we can learn from how Jesus handles this situation. The disciples haven't been able to deal with it, and panic has ensued. Perhaps this evil is too great. Perhaps some commentators think Jesus is frustrated. I think this is a bit of playful banter when Jesus says, "You unbelieving and perverse generation." I wonder if he's quoting someone there for a bit of a laugh, for a bit of a giggle. Personally, I think he's de-escalating. I think he's de-escalating here because Jesus is just naturally supernatural, isn't he? He doesn't make a big deal of it. He doesn't say, "I need a big incantation here," or drop his voice into a lower realm. And he doesn't start saying "thee and thou," unless you're reading the King James, or he wouldn't have done in the day. He is simply rebukes the demon, bang, and it comes out. Jesus is naturally supernatural and full of the power of God in the situation that he's in. So the disciples then say, "What did we do wrong?" They wait till they're in private. Make a note of that. Make a note of that. And in the other Gospels, as we look at Matthew and Mark, we see Jesus says, firstly, "Because you have so little faith," in private he tells them, "I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move." This is Matthew 17. "Nothing will be impossible for you." Wow. Remember, this was said to the disciples. This was not said to the boy, and this was not said to the father. This was said to the disciples, and it was said in private. Please never suggest to anybody that you're when you're praying for them, if they are not healed, that they do not have enough faith. Jesus didn't do that. So he's helping his disciples, though, to learn, isn't he? They needed bigger faith, bigger belief, bigger understanding. And he tells them in private. But then if we look in Mark 9 as well, when his disciples ask him, 9:28, why could we not drive it out? He replies, this kind can only come out by prayer. The way that they were doing it, they hadn't completely submitted to God. They weren't in communion with God. And they were trying to drive out this demon. It wasn't happening. Something wasn't quite right. God wasn't the source. When we pray, I remember this guy who prayed for me, I've told this story before. He said to me, look me in the eye before he prayed for me, and says, remember, it is Jesus who does the healing, not me. We are praying that Jesus will heal you. Glory goes to Jesus. We ask Jesus. Okay. Glory goes to God. And it's about prayer and being in communion with God when we're praying for people, especially in these kind of situations. And there's different ways of learning. As we've learned this morning, different ways of learning and understanding. We can learn through theoretical understanding. We can learn through theological exposition and through teaching, through sermons. We can learn through watching someone doing things. But we learn best by trying things out. Trying things out in our real daily lives. That's where we learn to love, trust, and follow Jesus the most, isn't it? And these answers are things that you've given me this morning, predominantly are things that you've done in your own lives because you live in it. And I'm hoping that we're inspiring you and resourcing you to do that as well here. But this is where the disciples try something out and get it wrong. Jesus never says, you shouldn't have tried, does he? Doesn't say that. Because this person comes to Jesus still through their trying. Do you know what, though? In my experience, one of the very best ways to learn is by getting it wrong. It's actually when we get it wrong, we learn so, so much, don't we? If only I could learn more from other people's mistakes rather than having to repeat them. But that is when we learn the most. Henry Ford said, the only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. It's only a mistake if you don't learn from it. And it's only by grace. Later on, the disciples say, oh, there's someone else who is praying, but they're not one of us, so we told him he shouldn't. Jesus says, no, God is working through different people and in different areas. We've this morning blessed other churches who are also blessing students, blessing Bangor, where we recognize that we're a community together. And by God's grace, he works through us, imperfect as we all are. The disciples learn from this. They learn in maturity and in power and effectiveness. But they continue to need God's Holy Spirit. So step out in faith. They stay the course, don't they? The disciples stay the course and step out in faith. So step out in faith. I would recommend that you do not try exorcisms. Speak to me if you want to discuss that more. It's not, you know, obviously we believe that Jesus has power over all evil and any form of darkness. But, you know, I would happily pray with you in that situation. But, you know, it's not a common situation that we find ourselves with today. But Jesus offers healing. Jesus offers healing for people with troubled spirits, troubled minds, troubled bodies. And we believe that Jesus heals today. So please speak to us if you'd like to pray for healing. But as I was saying before with the children's talk, there's this little bit of verse in here in the middle where we find that Jesus has mentioned that he is going to have a difficult time here as well. I just want to read those verses. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. They were afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. First point there. But Jesus has a bigger mission. When I became a Christian, I decided that God was God. I finally submitted to God as God. And I recognized that there was a God-shaped hole in my heart, and that none of this would make sense until I had resolved that God-shaped hole in my heart. I've felt I was distant from God. I wanted to be reconciled to God. I wanted to know more of his love and acceptance, but there was something in the way. I never felt worthy enough to come to approach God. Because for all of the activity of the Christian life, I grew up in a Christian home and I was very blessed by that. But for all of Christian activity, there was something in my heart that just needed something else that could only come from God. And Jesus was betrayed into the hands of sinful men, even though he was popular. Because that was God's greater plan for the salvation of our lives. Jesus laid down his life so that we could be forgiven. He laid down his life so that we could be whole, so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could have the confidence in our hearts that we are his children, not just on a daily basis, and that we can ask him for things and share our troubles with him, but on an eternal basis, knowing that we have a secure place at our Father's side, in our Father's heart, eternally. And that gives us that security, gives us freedom to know God, to know his love, and to grow, to love, trust, and follow Jesus. Because at the cross of Jesus, the mercy of God and the justice of God meet. I did physics as my first degree, and you had collisions between elementary particles, and they would crash together at incredibly high speeds, and then other particles would be formed, or other things would flow. And it's a bit like infinite mercy and infinite justice of God. Tertullian, it was one of the early church fathers, who said our theology must encompass the antithesis. We don't say, well, God's merciful, so that means he's not loving. We don't say God's just, so that means that God isn't merciful. No, we encompass the antithesis. And we accept that we're not going to understand how God could be both. But we see as it crashes in the middle on the cross, where the justice of God is maintained as Jesus dies for our sins. Our sins are not inconsequential. Jesus died for them. The sin of the world is not inconsequential. The evil of the world is not inconsequential. Jesus died for it. But also the mercy of God is shown in his plan, in his unfolding plan of salvation, that means that the perfect sinless life laid down, the blood of the very Son of God flowing, is sufficient, fulfilling all of the Old Testament sacrifices of animals and over years and years. That blood that flowed is a hapax moment, once and for all, as the juxtaposition of justice and mercy, grace flows. That means that I can know the grace of God, God's riches at Christ's expense, little mnemonic. The grace of God is not by anything that I did that makes me acceptable to God. It's because Jesus died. And he was willing to do that. As he went through life, he knew this was waiting for him. And he still walked that path, still trusted his Father. He laid down his life. And our next point, grace flows from the juxtaposition of holiness and love, as it does from the juxtaposition. That divine cosmic collision, those extremes in God, met and demonstrated at the cross. And I wanted to respond to that. I knew it was for me individually. I found myself at a point where I needed to say, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to receive his forgiveness. I'm going to choose to serve him and follow him. I'm sick of living my own way. I'm sick of trying to please myself and doing it the world's way. It doesn't work and it hurts. And I know that God loves me and he wants the best for me and that he made me. And I want to serve him. And I came to the cross where justice and mercy meet. Where there's a way for me that Jesus has made, where I can be forgiven and healed. And it may be that you are at a point where you realize that you are unable to fix the problem that is before you. Like the father with the boy, and they couldn't fix it. They couldn't fix it without the intervention of God. It might be that you're at that point. I can't promise you healing this morning. I will pray for you. I believe you could be healed. But I can promise you salvation. Because that doesn't come by my authority, but the authority that God has written in here, in his holy scriptures, that are the divine word of God. I can promise you that if you come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you, to forgive your sin, this morning you will start a new journey of life into Jesus and into that life that he gives. So perhaps there's an issue in life that you can't overcome without his help. I'm just going to ask you, if that's you, I want to invite you to stand just where you are. If this morning you think there's an issue that I want to overcome, I need God's help. I want someone to pray with me. Or perhaps you want to approach God for the first time. You want to say, like I did, I can't do this on my own. I know Jesus died for me. I want to submit my life to live his way. I want to trust in him. I want to live my life for him. I want to invite you to stand. Or perhaps you knew God, but you've made mistakes. As you said, we don't give up if we make mistakes. Perhaps you gave up. Perhaps you want to come back to Jesus to know his cleansing, to know his healing, to know his peace. Again, I would invite you to stand. I read these verses this morning. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. By myself I have sworn. My mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee will bow. By me every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. We can look elsewhere. We can look to greater knowledge, greater education. That's helpful. But ultimately, it's not the entire answer. We can look to popularity, to wealth, to gaining of power. Will not save us. We need to be saved by Jesus. What if what I've said to you has spoken to you? You haven't wanted to stand? Or if you've stood at home and I can't see you, I'm sorry. Or if you're standing now and you're listening to this on YouTube later, write in. Phone us, talk to us. And as we journey together, none of us perfect, but of all of us seeking to follow Jesus, to love, trust, and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have power over every situation, illness, and sickness. Lord God, we thank you that ultimately one day there will be no more sickness, pain, and suffering in heaven. Thank you that we see breakthroughs of that today. For anyone here suffering, I pray for healing. Lord Jesus, thank you that you bid us to walk in community together as we thought about serving you, being childlike in our acceptance of your love. We pray that you would lead us on together and in community and in collaboration with others who follow you in this city and beyond. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on a cross to save our sins. Thank you for the greatest healing, which is our salvation eternally and our reconciliation spiritually with you. Help us, Lord, as we share the good news of that salvation. Give us strength. Give us gentleness and wisdom, and give us courage as we seek to love you, to trust you, and to follow you. Amen.